byproducts application.
Good morning, and first, before I started, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors. Brett Hill is my technician. He did all the data collection and looking up the project. Virginia Nielsen is Alberta Agriculture. My collaborator, he did all field work. And Dr. Xiaomei Li, she is the overall project, multi-component project leader, and she's the one got all the funding and got the project rolling for the larger project dealing with anaerobic digestion and deriving the byproduct from the anaerobic digestion, as well as using the digestion process to control and destroy the BSE component. For Canada and the Canadian beef industry, typically involving the most calving occur in February to May, and then the cow calf will stay in the natural rangeland for the summer until about November. Then the cattle went to the backgrounding, then followed by finishing until next year around June and July. And 80% of the meat produced in Canada are exported. For the most beef cow cattle productions are in Alberta, in Canada, where I come from. And 40% roughly is in from Alberta, and another 30 in Saskatchewan. And the Lethbridge, where I'm from, I'm just like 1 hour drive north of Montana. For the feedlot cattle productions, it is very intensive. Like we're in southern Alberta, we are called Feedlot Alley. Most feedlot is around 25,000 head, larger ones. And in southern Alberta, the one I know, one owner owns five of them. So each is 25,000 head capacities. Quite often, almost 80 to 90% of manure are land applied directly without any processing. And if the weather condition or land condition is not favorable for application, then sometimes the manure could be stored, stockpiled for over a year or 2 years. Increasingly recently, we have more manure being composted, about 10 to 15% nowadays. And anaerobic digestion is just very recently, and we have about two or three in Alberta doing anaerobic digestion of cattle feedlot manure. So anaerobic digestion, in a sense, you derive additional value as for energy source. As well as we could through the process of recovering nitrogen and phosphorus and making pellets. And my project originally is to try to see, since we have a fair amount of information on manure application, but we don't have much information on the biodigester use, particularly if you make it into pellets and what kind of agronomic value or the greenhouse gas emission is. So this project, today we are presenting some yield and N2O emissions from the soil receiving various forms at anaerobic digestion materials. We have two locations. One is at where my research center is, so just about 10 miles south of the research center. Another one is in the central Alberta, in just north of Edmonton. We call it, one is dark brown soil, one is the black Trinidad soil. We have six treatment, control, receive nothing, and have a fresh manure compared to traditional methods. Also, anaerobic digested liquid, and as well as solid separated from the liquid. Initially, we supposed to have pellets, and also try to balance the nitrogen phosphorus. So typically, in the cattle manure, nitrogen phosphorus ratio only about 2-to-1. We try to increase to 6-to-1. And we have two application rate. One is 100 kilogram nitrogen per hectare. One is double that rate. We just make this experiment simple, assuming 50% nitrogen is available the current crop year, and we apply it annually each spring. And we try to emulate the conservation tillage, because in a prairie region of Canada, almost 90-95% cereal production is under conservation tillage. We don't till the land, we seed directly. But because southern Alberta is very windy, and we noticed like if you leave the manure on the surface, it might go blowing away. We just did very light cultivar, just like mixing the soil with top 2 centimeter soil with the manure. It is a five-year project, but for the Sendover site, we just couldn't find a suitable site until a year later. So Lesbridge just started on time, and Sendover started 1 year later. And we just finished harvesting this year's crop, and next year we won't be applying any amendment in Lesbridge site, but Sendover will continue to receive one more applications. We measure the greenhouse gas during the growing season. This is a picture of application. Our plot is not very large, 2.5 meters by 15 meters, with about 5 meters in between each plot and 15 meters between each applications. And we applied the amendment right in the same one day, and the next day we seed the crop. And we used the vented static chamber method for collecting the gas, and each collection we involve 5 data points over the 1 hour. And we collect annual crop data, and besides yield, also NP uptake and soil availability stuff. And basically the soil, the black soil is much more higher organic matter content. Also the field before we started already have fair amount of available in the soil. And Lesbridge is a bit colder than Edmonton at St. Albert, and we have semi-arid conditions in a bit of central Alberta, precision a bit higher, also the evaporation is much lower. And for the property, we basically, whenever we need, we just go to the biodigesting plant they deliver the material we applied. And quite often, two sites, seeding time or application time could be as far as 1 month apart or sometimes 1 week apart. So the property of two sites we applied is a bit different. One thing you notice about digestate, when the except moisture based on the wet weight, all rest based on the dry weight, digestate has much higher available and available P content than the other form of the application amendment, similarly at the Sinover site. And initially, when you look at the field, you see very little differences until we harvest yield. And basically, all we can see is now, I haven't done any stats on it yet, digestate generally produce higher yield than the other amendment in both Lesbridge over the 4 years now, and as well as in Sinobert. And all amendments increase yield, but some year is more different than others. And the yield difference is largely from year to year due to the seeding date. The earlier you seed it, the higher the crop yield is. Like this year, Lesbridge, we didn't seed until in July because of weather condition or availability of the equipment. So the yield is very low this year. And phosphorus uptake is not much difference. It's very low. And the barley yield in Sinover, because the growing condition is a bit better, the yield tend to be a bit higher in Sinover than in Lesbridge. Again, nitrogen uptake in the better in digestate, and other treatment are very little differences. Typically, we try to collect in the greenhouse gas emission few points before the seeding, and then collect right away until after harvest, and then we collect a few more points. Most emission occurred right following applications, and with digestate similar again as yield as highest emissions. And so we just see the higher emission digest, is it because you adding more water into it, or is it because nutrients into it? So 1 year we did a whole strip of application outside two replications and collecting the emission from the soil that only receive irrigation water in the same amount as the 2 times digested application. We noticed the very red follow application the first week, then the emissions high with water applicate, but afterwards drop down to similar to the control soil. This means that might be in the first week they increase water content from the digested, increase the nitrous oxide emission. The rest increase is due to the nutrient availability in the digested. Here in Snowbird, because the soil is much richer and higher organic matter, so like organic matter is almost like 4 times what we have in the Lesbridge. If you keep the same scale of N2O emission as in the Lesbridge, the emission from digestion in Snowbird is off the chart. It's much higher, at least 2 times or even 8 times higher than in Lesbridge. And this we only have 3 years data. So in summary, the effective use and cycling nutrients is crucial to livestock crop production, and digested in the liquid form application seems to produce highest yield and nitrogen uptake and NO2 emissions. We'll collect one more data and continue monitoring the crop yield maybe following the next few years and conduct detailed analysis. We'll need to improve our understanding on nutrient behavior to ensure long-term sustainability. And for any questions, I'm happy to answer any questions.
We have about 4 minutes for questions. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so should Canada regulate the application for the manure or not?
Depend on the province. Most, say like Alberta, I'm come from, we have a... regulation on so like up to how much you need to soil salinity and soil nitrogen. So far, we haven't followed the phosphorus route yet. And if you reach certain level, then you can only apply amount crop need. And some like Manitoba thinking about maybe moving to phosphorus based level, so depending on the province. Similar, I don't think we anywhere in Canada regulate fertilizer application. It is mainly manure application regulated. For this feedlot, they are in the anaerobic digestion for about 5 years, 6 years now. And so mainly just the feedlot manure. They are building a system now right beside it to ethanol production. So then when the grain go to the ethanol production, then feed the cow, then coming out anaerobic digestion. And for my experiment, like the first 2 years, I even don't have pellet. The project is a multi, like large team, and the didn't produce pellets. I used a separate solid and adding some urea to apply for the first 2 years. Now I have pellets now, but still not in the production scale yet. It's tiny little pellet, and we manually feed the manure, and I have to do pellet myself to get the project going. And I'm involving another feedlot now. He's doing hydrolysis, alkaline hydrolysis to treat the specify risk material and the cattle mortality first, then flow this part into a, he has a one big hydrolysis system, then a 7 or 8 anaerobic digester, slightly smaller scale, and use that coal, generate biogas. After that material coming out, he even have a composting, the separate solid, and he has everything like a 1 acre roof, everything under one roof. It is getting more and more people going into this route now, but still needs a lot of capital. Only the big guy can do this, and then small operations, that's impossible.
Did you mention that was the crop history of the two sites, like the previous years?
Let's bridge site, the crop has been under barley canola rotation for a long time. At least for 10 years, and it is the rest of you still in this rotation except our site. We just grew forage and barley for harvesting at a soft dose stage for making cattle feed. The St. Albert site, at first we thought we'll put onto the Alberta, University of Alberta conservation farm, but it didn't pan out. And one rich farmer donated a huge piece of land to the university next year, so we managed to get onto brand new piece of land. We don't know any history about it. But I asked the UV professor, find a piece of land where don't have any manure history, very low, bit lower organic matter content. But somehow we still have, look like the site might have some manure application. Organic carbon is like 8%, that's quite high, higher than typical black soil in the region.
Thank you very kindly.